Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Yesterday, de facto Law Minister Zakirin Hassan stunned Dewan Rakyat by claiming that Cabinet had decided to revoke all six emergency ordinances. Now, he had explicitly stated that the revocation took effect on July 21st. Many have questioned if the ordinances have in fact been revoked, given the lack of a published gazette and the legitimacy of enforcement under emergency powers. But it seems that that uncertainty is set to continue a little longer after Zakirin Hassan refused to clarify the matter to Dewan Rakyat this morning, saying he would only do so after the emergency expires on August the 2nd. And joining us on the line now to help shed a little clarity on the proper process of revoking emergency ordinances and the implications of not following due process, we have joining us now lawyer Niu Sin Yu. Sin Yu, thank you so much for joining us today. Now, I'm just wondering, point blank, should we consider the six emergency ordinances legitimately annulled?
No, it has not been revoked. It has not been annulled. And it has not been revoked because the act of revoking, there are certain legal rules and procedures to follow. That has not been followed. What is commonly done is that you have to first table the emergency ordinances before the Yang di-Pertuan Agong. Sorry, the revocation of the ordinances to the Yang di-Pertuan Agong, because under the law, it is only the Yang di-Pertuan Agong that has the authority to revoke those ordinances, because he is the authority that made them in the first place. And after that, only after the YDPA revokes the emergency ordinances, then you would have to publish it in the Gazette, because the revocation of emergency ordinances, it's considered as a subsidiary legislation. So the law requires subsidiary legislations to be gazetted, and it will only take effect upon gazette. So it is not revoked. And it is also not annulled because, as we know it, there has been no motion to lay all these emergency ordinances as well as the proclamation of emergency, even though that is required under Article 1503 of the Federal Constitution. So there's no motion that lays it before the House to vote. And since it has not been voted on and it hasn't been revoked, it's still in effect.
Sin Yu, could you help us clarify some of the confusion that is between the question of, ending the emergency earlier versus, not extending the emergency, and the question of the annulment of the ordinances, which, if they don't happen, actually live on for 6 months or are enforceable for 6 months after the end of the emergency. In what happened yesterday, was there any clarity as to what dimensions of, in terms of all these different issues, was actually made sense of?
Okay, let me backtrack a bit to first principles. There's three ways to end an emergency and its ordinances. The first is revocation, like what I've explained. The second is annulment by Parliament, which is also what I explained briefly earlier, where you lay it before the House and the House say that we don't approve of this emergency, we don't approve of this ordinance, we are going to annul it. And the third way is when it automatically lapses on the date it's stated in the emergency. I think it's first of August. So the proclamation of emergency, if it ends on the 1st of August, if it's not extended, all emergency ordinances that was made under this emergency, during this emergency, it lives on for another 6 months until it lapses. So what had happened yesterday was neither here nor there. I think that the Minister of Law, he had said something which was inaccurate. It wasn't factually correct, because the emergency ordinances has not been revoked. And today, he said that he's only going to wait until the proclamation of emergency expires on the 1st of August. So I think it is implicit, it is implied in his answer today that it has not been revoked. Because if it has been revoked, there would no need to wait until the proclamation of emergency to end. And the difference here is that these ordinances that are currently in force, it will live on for another 6 months, because it will only cease to have effect immediately when it is revoked or it is annulled. If it lapses upon expiration of emergency, like I said, it lives on for another 6 months. So I think there's a very good likelihood that we are going to continue living with these ordinances, with all that fake news ordinance, that government having to can tap into the consolidated funds without going through parliament and no assembly for another 6 months. So for me, that is a substantial difference. Of course, the ideal situation that, you know, it is tabled before parliament and it is voted upon. So there is legitimacy behind what the government is doing, or lack thereof, which would mean major political ramifications to the government. Because, you know, if the government loses a major bill, major resolution, that would mean that there's no confidence in the government.
Sinyu, what likelihood of, you know, this missing gazette to be published before Monday, 2nd of August, before the emergency expires? I'm just wondering whether all this uncertainty can be resolved with the publishing of the missing gazette, and can that gazette be backdated to the 21st?
No, you can't. Here's the thing. If Parliament sits, the power to revoke all these ordinances, it's taken away from the government. The constitution doesn't implicitly allow that. The proclamation of emergency and the ordinances made under this proclamation of emergency, it can only cease to have effect immediately if it is laid before the House for a vote. The government does not have the discretion to do otherwise. And what we are seeing now is that the government refusing to table this proclamation of emergency and the ordinances before the House for a vote. And that is frustrating Parliament's constitutional role to act as a safeguard, to act as a supervisor to what the government is doing.
Can we accuse the law minister of essentially misleading the House in order to undercut what the criticism coming from the opposite side of the aisle, saying that, you know, they needed to vote on the specific ordinances? Can he be accused of misleading the House, and what are the consequences if he is proven to have done so?
I think what he has done is, in effect, misleading the House, for lack of a better word. You know, it's either that or he, which I find it quite unbelievable, he didn't know that it wasn't revoked. But I think that's rather unbelievable. I think that he did mislead the House. And he is not answering whether it's a simple yes or no. He refuses to answer. There's been a lot of dilly-dallying in the House today. What are the consequences? I think that's something for Parliament, the House itself, to decide. If I'm not wrong, there's been calls for him to be referred to the Parliamentary Privileges Committee. I think I got the full name right.
So since you come Monday, we're expecting an explanation by the de facto law minister, Taqiyuddin Hassan. What are you going to be clearly watching out for in terms of what he presents in Dewan Rakyat, particularly any red flags that you are concerned about?
Well, here's the thing. With this government, there hasn't been any certainty other than uncertainty itself. So what we might see, and what I am most worried of by Monday, is that the government says that, okay, we are going to extend the emergency and we're going to advise the Yang Di Pertuan Agong to do so. And if that is the case, then whatever that the government has been trying to avoid for the past 5 days, putting the proclamation of emergency to a vote, putting the emergency ordinances to a vote, all that becomes even more glaring, and it becomes even more serious. And for me, if that was the case, that would be highly undemocratic and highly unconstitutional. And I would even go so far to say that that's fraud on parliament.
Xinyu, can any of this be taken to court? Can we use, or can the courts be used to adjudicate on these matters between the executive and parliament, and as you put it, the frustrations that parliament has faced in conducting its own role in parliamentary democracy?
The general rule is that anything that happens in the House, the court cannot interfere. That's the general rule. But I think there are some limited circumstances which we are seeing right now where the court can interfere. And one of it is when the executive, through the misuse of standing orders, is frustrating what Parliament is required to do under Article 1503. And I think under that very limited circumstances, the court can interfere because it becomes a question of jurisdiction. The executive has acted beyond their constitutional jurisdiction in preventing Parliament from conducting its constitutional function and exercising its constitutional function. So I think that, yes, you can, but it's going to be tough, like any constitutional law cases.
Xinyu, I wonder if you mentioned draconian laws like the anti-fake news law, the ordinance related to that, and also the very worrying power to dip into funds without parliamentary scrutiny. But what about ordinances like the employees' minimum standard housing and accommodation amenities ordinance? I mean, that is something that seems particularly useful for a government in improving conditions and dealing with the pandemic. Are we in a situation where Parliament has been and the public has been robbed of an opportunity to have a good law used for the public good?
So that's the thing. You need to go back to Parliament. Let's not forget that the executive, they have no lawmaking powers. They only have lawmaking powers during an emergency when Parliament is not sitting. So even if it was for the best of intentions, It's something amazing, we're suddenly going to solve poverty in Malaysia through certain legislation, if that's even possible. We are violating first principles that only Parliament can make law, and executive is supposed to enforce those laws. And if it was so good, then what should be done is to lay it before Parliament. Let Parliament make the very same laws which the executive has made. And I think that is the right thing to do. We cannot look at the outcome and forget about the process to get there. The road to hell is often paved with good intentions.
Well said, yes. Thank you so much for your insights tonight. That was Lawyer Niu Sin Yu. After this, we're going to come back and speak to a political analyst. Bridget Welsh will be joining us for her observations of day two of the special parliamentary sitting. Stay tuned to Consider This.